You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
The snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas. I'm extremely thrilled that you tuned into this episode in particular, because I have a guy on that we've kind of become friends over the last year or so online, and we have yet had the chance to meet in person, but I'm going to make my way up there to make that happen. Not only him, but another one of his cohorts over the Epic Film Guys is in his area as well, Justin, who's been on the show countless times. I'm also just love that guy as well, but this is kind of like his BFF, or would you be his sidekick, or is he your sidekick, Brian?
Lackey, I guess is a good word.
Okay, you're his Cliff Booth and he's Rick Dalton. That can't be it. Well, guys, say what's up to Brian Loy Sauce from, well, really just from the world, but he's kind of a staple over the Epic Film Guys. Brian, what's up, man? Welcome back.
Hello, thank you so much for having me, Gerald. It's a pleasure, as always. I'm excited to talk some Disney.
Yeah, this is going to be a good discussion as opposed to one that you had recently over at the aforementioned Epic Film Guys when you guys ripped into the new Lion King adaptation, which I'm sure that's bound to come up today at some point, which I welcome as well because I kind of am irritated a little bit myself, so maybe I can get some stuff off my chest there. But I'm thrilled to have you, man. I mean, the last time you were on has been way too long. It was about a year ago, actually. We did our 90s horror movies with you and Justin, and that was a blast. So this is different, huh? Like a 180, I guess, right?
definitely yeah. So
none of these songs were in any of those movies, I don't think. So we're gonna do our top five Disney songs today, guys, and these are Disney original tunes. Brian and I decided to keep it to animated features only, for more than one reason. That's how you went too, right, Brian? Just animated features?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Did you include any Pixar? Because I meant to tell you that you can do Pixar as well.
No, I didn't do any Pixar.
Okay. I got one Pixar on mine that I just couldn't find a way to leave off, and I'll talk about it when we get to it. But, I mean, talk to me a little bit about your research for this list, man. I mean, I know you said you're a Disney fanatic, and at the same time, they've kind of been marring things a little bit as of late. But, I mean, how did you research this list? How easy was it to come up with your top five?
I mean, it was incredibly difficult narrowing it down. I mean, there were a few that I felt like I had to include, but then ultimately couldn't, just because I had to go with personal preference. You know what I mean? Like, I had to go with, I had to follow my heart. So it was difficult, but I have a buttload of honorable mentions, though, so yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, no kidding, same here. I mean, I messaged you, I think it was last night or this morning, that it was just so hard to not only get it down to five, but to try to put them in the appropriate order, because, I mean, I know you know this because you listen to the show, but this is just our personal five. It's not like the consensus top five. And there's a couple songs that are on my honorable mentions that would probably be, you know, the majority, like one or two, but they didn't make my top five. But I obviously respect the impact that they've had and how popular they are. And obviously you went that route too. This is your personal, like if you made a playlist of five Disney songs, this is it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome, man. Well, again, I'm thrilled you're here. I love you. And we, you know, we catch up online all the time. So it's cool when I actually get to have you on the show. You just missed coming on for musicals a few months ago.
Yeah, I was bummed about that.
That's all right. I was super bummed about that. You had to go out of town the week we recorded that. So,
but I love listening to the episode.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. That means a lot. Well, this one's going to be just as great. So let's do it, man. We're going to do our top five Disney original songs from the animated features only. Brian, you want to go first, man? You're the guest over here. So if you want, you can kick things off with your number five, buddy.
Oh, sure. Thanks. Yeah, I'll go first. So I'm going to start with the best Disney villain song of all time, in my opinion. which is Hellfire from The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Beata Maria, you know I am a righteous man. Of my virtue I am justly proud. Beata Maria, you know I'm so much purer than the common, vulgar, weak, licentious crowd. Then tell me, Maria, why I see her dancing there, why her smoldering eyes still scorch my soul. I feel her, I see her, the sun caught in her raven hair is blazing in me out of all control. Like fire, hellfire, this fire.
Sung by Claude Frollo, who I think is one of the more interesting Disney villains in the canon, just because he is such a pious man and he does struggle with his religion like we all do, but he goes way, way too far in his in how tormented he is by his lustful obsession with Esmeralda. Mm-hmm. And in the song, he sings about basically how badly he wants to rape Esmeralda, but knowing that if he does so, he would burn for eternity in the depths of hell.
Right.
Like,
right.
This is dark, weighty material to introduce to children.
Yeah, remind everyone we're doing a Disney list here. But yes, yeah, you're right.
But this song kicks ass. Because I have to, you know, you have to hand it to Disney's bravery and maturity for including a song of such complexity in a film decidedly aimed at children. And yeah, the song itself is just epic. I mean, it incorporates Latin prayers and a huge choir and strings and timpani in that foreboding minor key. It's just great. And it's the first film I can remember seeing in the theater. I was about 3 years old at the time.
Okay.
And I still remember it. Like, I still have vivid memories of being in the theater and watching that scene. So it definitely made an impression on me, and that's why it's number five for me.
Well, something to be said for that. I mean, the fact that you remember it so many years later, you were so young. I mean, that just tells the story right there. That's a good one, man. You know, I got another buddy of mine who actually lives and works at Walt Disney World. She's been on before, and we have an upcoming episode for our top five Disney villains that her and I are going to be recording, and he may or may not be making a appearance on that list in one way or another, because just such a realistically evil guy too. Not really a lot of cartoonish depth to him. It's like a real on the surface type villain, you know? So I agree with you, man. Great pick. It's not on my list. I didn't get anything from Hunchback on my list, but I do recollect that song as well. It's a villain showcase and it's an epic tune, like you said. So great pick for your number five, man. So my number five is a lot lighter than that. In fact, my whole list really is, now that I'm looking at it. I went kind of, I don't want to use the word cheesy, but lighthearted. I went kind of lighthearted on my list. The majority of mine are kind of, would be considered very young kid friendly. So my number five is from another Disney movie that recently got announced they're going to be remaking, which will be interesting to see. But this is from
Of course they are.
Yeah, well, all these they probably are at some point or another if they haven't already. But it's from 1989's The Little Mermaid, and the song that I chose is Under the Sea. That's my number five.
Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more is you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While we're devoting full time to floating under the sea.
I love this song for a lot of reasons, but, you know, it just makes me happy. It's a song about Ariel wanting to leave the only world that she's ever known and go up to the surface. And, you know, we know all the reasons why she wants to do that, which you know, may or may not be a little controversial if you think about it in terms of 2019. But you know, Sebastian the Crab is singing to her for the majority of the song. And he's telling her, like, look, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. But look around you. Look at everything you have and all your friends and everything you have down here. Like, this is where you should be. And whether where you are in your life, sometimes we all need to hear that. You know, it's like we have the life that we have. We need to make the best out of that. Now, the fairy tale plays out, and, you know, what happens, you know, kind of a Disney princess type story, but this song kind of encapsulates, like, look, you're okay, like, what you have is okay, it is enough for you, and I love Ariel, too, one of my favorite Disney princesses from the canon, and I just love Little Mermaid. I'm kind of nervous because whenever I love a Disney movie, you know, which I love The Lion King and the remake that just came out about that, actually a couple weeks before we're recording here, was not thrilled with, and I feel like they just basically remade the same movie, but not as good, for lack of a better way to put it. And I know you just had a rant about that recently on Epic Film Guys too. But, you know, at the same time, it interests me because I do love Ariel and I do love the Little Mermaid story so much. So it does interest me. I do like that they cast a young black girl for it to be a bit unique and a bit obviously different from what we know her as. So, I mean, I'll see it and I'll see what happens. But not to get on too much of a tangent there, but Under the Sea is my number five from the Little Mermaid. You into the Little Mermaid, man?
I love The Little Mermaid. I love the songs in that film, but none of them made my list.
Really? So, really? Interesting. Yeah. Interesting, because there's another one that I toyed with putting on here as well, but I went with Under the Sea just because of the happiness that I get from listening to it and the message that he's trying to tell her there. So that's my number five.
It's a showstopper, as they say.
That's right. That's right. And it's awesome to see them do it at Disney World, too. They have a show there where they perform the song and all the... It's kind of like a puppet show. You know, they do it with black lights and stuff and these fluorescent puppets come out. I don't know if you ever saw it, but...
Yeah, and on Broadway, Titus Burgess from mm-hmm. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt played Sebastian on Broadway, so mm-hmm. that definitely brought the house down.
Yeah.
So that's a great pick.
That's awesome, man. So yeah, Under the Sea's my number five from The Little Mermaid, and that swings us over to you for your number four, buddy.
Alrighty, my number four. Would it really be a list of the best Disney songs without this one? I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Man. Well, even though it's not politically correct, I'd say, for a white man to do the singing voice for a character who is Chinese, Donny Osmond just kills it with the vocals in this one.
Let's get down to business to defeat the Huns. Did they send me daughters when I asked for sons? You're the saddest bunch I ever met, but you can bet before we're through, Mr. I'll make a man out of you.
And it's relevant, the song itself is relevant to the themes of gender in the film. And it's ironic because throughout the course of the song, Mulan is able to meet Captain Shang's ideal expectations of what a man should be, you know, like a coursing river, like a great typhoon, like a raging fire, despite being a woman. And Mulan as a character is used to counter that ideology. But aside from that, listening to this song once will increase your testosterone levels tenfold. And I think it's easily the best training montage music since Rocky IV.
Interesting analogy, but yes, it is a good one. It came up a ton in the fan feedback, which we'll get to in the last segment of the show. It didn't make my list, but I love it. I think it's...
So your list already is invalid then,
I know,
it doesn't include this.
I know, and you led with that, and I'm like, oh shit, should I put it on my list now? He's kind of right, but I already told you I went a little more lighthearted with mine, but this is... you're right, it's like a montage jam, you know, it's kind of like the equivalent of almost like a fight song for this movie, but interestingly enough, I am excited for the Mulan remake. The trailer just came out about a month ago, and it looks a lot different from this animated film. How do you feel about the upcoming remake?
It looks like House of Flying Daggers or something. It looks like a proper war epic, which is decidedly a different angle to look at the story from, and apparently they're trying to skew closer to the original tale, which I always welcome. The animated film took a lot of liberties, so you won't see Mushu or anything in this version. Dragon voiced by Eddie Murphy is not going to be in the remake, but so I'm interested in seeing it.
Me too.
I have serious problems with how Disney is approaching these remakes. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them are creatively bankrupt.
Yeah,
you know, if they're trying to be true true to the source material and they're trying to respect Chinese culture a little bit more with this version, then I'm all for it. You know, I'll be there in the theater watching it.
Well, it's interesting that, and I will be too, it's interesting that you brought that up, and I guess we can get into it for a couple minutes here, but my list almost got shaken up a little bit because of some of the recent remakes, because I feel like Disney is, for us, and I know I'm older than you are, but for us folks that grew up with these classics, you know, these hand-drawn animated classics, and to see what they're kind of turning them into, I mean, even if you don't want to say they're horrible, they're in no way better than what was done 20, 30 years ago. And
correct, yeah.
Even when I'm listening to these songs, and I love, I mean, let's just use the Lion King example. I don't want to give anything away for our list, but just in general, the music from the Lion King, so many great songs. The soundtrack is just cover to cover amazing. But hearing those songs in the setting that I just saw a couple weeks ago, I didn't enjoy them because they didn't bring back the same nostalgia feelings that I would get if I put on the animated movie right now, even though the songs are technically the same, sung by different people. Does that make sense? Like, it's almost like it's hurting the legacy of some of the music.
It makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I have a song on my list that this applies to perfectly.
Okay. All right.
But I feel like people are tricked into liking these movies because they trigger the nostalgic memories that they have for the original, but it doesn't do anything on its own to establish itself as worthwhile as its own thing.
Right.
It's a pale imitation, a lot of these remakes. And there are exceptions. I liked Cinderella, I like Pete's Dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't even mind Aladdin that much because at least they were trying to make it into kind of the songs were kind of remixed in a different style. They kind of incorporated a lot of Bollywood,
like hip hop,
and Indian, and in the case of Will Smith's Genie, a lot of hip hop elements to it. So I really liked that version. I had problems with Aladdin, but I didn't mind it so much. But yeah, I really hope they don't copy paste, you know, a lot of their songs like they did with The Lion King, which again, we'll get to. But
yeah, we'll get to it. I feel like it's interesting to talk to you. How old are you, Brian, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 26.
Okay, you're 26. I'm almost 44. So it's interesting to talk, you know, with the age gap that you and I have. We have a similar sensibility there and a similar mindset. But, you know, it's always interesting to me, and I wanted to tell you this, and obviously you don't have any children, correct?
I do not.
I assume I would know about that if you did. You know, I have a son who's about to turn 6 years old, so I have a 5-year-old son, and we went to see this remake of The Lion King, and what's interesting is when I get to see it through his perspective, through his eyes, it's almost like profound to me because he prefers the remake over the animated.
That's unfortunate.
You know, right, you know, but it's interesting to like hear him talk about it. And I wonder if it's because when he saw the animated, he was really too young to let it for it to affect him. And he's, all like I said, he's almost 6 now, and he saw it in a theater experience. You know, it was a sold-out theater. I mean, the songs are great, you know, and to see them on the big screen, and that affected him much more than seeing the animated on my television when he was 3 or whatever it was. Do you know what I mean?
Which begs the question. I mean, they've tried this before by re-releasing them in 3D or whatever, but why don't they just re-release the original classics in theaters?
Exactly.
And the answer is, again, to trick the audience into thinking they're watching something new when they're really just recycling, you know, the same thing over and over.
Right.
But also because you have to have the marquee value of, oh, Beyonce's in this. Oh, Emma Watson. Oh, wow, I have to go see it.
Right.
And then that'll sell soundtrack albums. And so, I mean, it's a very cynical enterprise.
Right.
And I hate saying that because, again, I love Disney. I feel like I owe Disney so much. Like, they gave me my childhood, practically.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being, you know, old man yells at cloud, but and maybe I'm not looking at it from the perspective of a child, but it frustrates me that like parents are taking their kids to see these new versions, and maybe this is their first exposure to that tale, or maybe it's their only exposure that they're going to get unless they discover the original version. So it just saddens me a little bit that the originals, which have so much more, in my opinion, so much more artistry and
no doubt,
care and craft behind them. I mean, in these remakes, like, the hard work is done for them. Like, all of the iconic songs have already been written. All of the, you know...
If nothing else, to your point, the originality is just missing. I prefer a reimagining of a base story, which we've seen before. You mentioned Pete's Dragon. That's different. I mean, you know, I even kind of had like a... I mean, I didn't have like an argument, but I know I even had like a debate with my son a little bit. And I put on the Blu-ray for the original when we got, like, the next night after seeing seeing the remake in the theater. I'm talking about The Lion King. And I found myself trying to plead with him as to why that one was better, you know. And he enjoyed it. I mean, he watched it and he thought it was cool that, you know, a lot, because especially in The Lion King, it's like scene by, I mean, it's like literally the same movie.
It's the same movie.
It's crazy, you know, and he would be like, oh yeah, this is when this happens or whatever. So it was almost like he used them to kind of compliment each other in a way, which of course that's through the eyes of a five-year-old. So I don't know, I guess I'm kind of inadvertently defending myself there, because when I took him to see it, I was so hopeful that it would be better than it turned out to be, and that it wouldn't be just the exact same movie with a different form of animation, which is what it was. So I don't know. I'm okay with him liking it. I'm not going to obviously, you know, dissuade that or whatever, but I'm probably going to be showing him like Mulan and Little Mermaid. I'll be showing him the originals before we go to the movie next time to make sure those originals are fresh in his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, what are we doing? I forgot where the hell we are. So we're up to your number. Did I give you my four yet? I didn't give you my four yet. Okay. So my number four, hey, guess what? This is another one that's been remade. So my number four is from 1991's Beauty and the Beast, and the song that I chose is Be Our Guest, is my number four. I chose this one really because of the showcase factor for Disney. This is a song that if you go to Disney World or Disneyland, this is the song that is basically a theme song for their world. And it's so cool to me that that was adopted to be that way. And that it's lived on to basically introduce little ones and families to Disney. And when I say Disney, I mean like their theme parks and just the whole kind of world that they've created.
Ma chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now we invite you to relax. Let us pull up a chair as the dining room proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest, be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, chérie, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre, why, we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff, it's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, miss, this is France, and a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We our guest, be our guest.
You know, the song is really cool. The animation is awesome. You know, you got Mrs. Potts in there. You got Lumiere basically singing the whole tune to Belle. And he's saying, you know, we're so happy to have a human here. Let me tell you our story. Let me tell you what we can offer you. It's okay that you're a quote unquote prisoner here because you're our guest. And, you know, most of the song is about cuisine and, you know, all the wonderful things that you can see in France because Lumiere is French. So it's just a very fun song. But I chose it just because I feel like it's so iconic for the Disney brand that I feel like, you know, be our guest is literally what they're saying to the world. Like, hey, be our guest, come into our world, and you know, we're going to take care of you, we're going to treat you like family. So I chose it because of kind of the hidden message that this song was adopted by Disney. That's my number four, is Be Our Guest. Are you you're a fan of that one?
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorite Disney films. And I believe it was Roger Ebert. It might not have been Roger Ebert, but some prominent film critic at the time of the release of Beauty and the Beast said, the best musical out right now is not on Broadway, it's in movie theaters, and it's Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. And just because the songs are so intricate and theatrical, and yeah, they definitely make you feel as if you're watching a proper Broadway musical, mm-hmm, just in animated form. So, I mean, the songs are masterful in that film, and it's one of the best. It ranks up there with the best of Disney.
Yeah, that's another remake I was slightly disappointed with.
But I remember sitting in the theater watching Beauty and the Beast and thinking, why am I watching this?
Right.
I could be at home watching the original. Right. It's the same movie with worse singing and half an hour of padding to make it longer.
It's crazy. It's crazy. we won't get too deep into that since we already touched on it. But yes, my number four, man. So that shoots us over to you for your number three, buddy. What do you got?
All right, number three. A lot of people might be surprised that I have the song on my list. And to be clear, this is not from one of my favorite Disney movies, but this song sears my very soul, and it's Just Around the River Bend from Pocahontas.
Wow, I am kind of surprised by that.
What I love most about rivers is you can't step in the same river twice. The water's always changing, always flowing. But people, I guess, can't live like that. We all must pay a price. To be safe, we lose our chance of ever knowing what's around the river bend. waiting just around the river bend. I look once more just around the river bend, beyond the shore, where the gulls fly free, don't know what for, but I dream the day might send just around the river bend for me. Coming for me.
This is a song about being torn between following tradition or exploring the unknown. Using the two paths of a river as a metaphor is a great way to establish Pocahontas' inner conflicts and desires as a character. And Judy Kuhn, her voice is just as serene and beautiful as water trickling down a stream. And I just adore Stephen Schwartz's lyrics, especially how the song starts. What I love most about rivers is you can't step in the same river twice. The water's always changing, always flowing. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And of course, Alan Menken is the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
I love the music in Pocahontas. It's not, on a story level, it's not one of the strongest animated features, but, and it definitely does take extreme liberties with American history.
Sure.
That could probably use a live-action remake, a reimagining, I suppose, and maybe...
Be careful. Be careful what you wish for.
Well, I'm sure we'll get it at some point, like you said, but, you know, if they maybe reimagined it to be a little bit closer to what actually happened, but still retaining those themes, and especially the music. I mean, don't touch the music, because it's just fantastic.
Right, like the way of Mulan, kind of, where it looks like Mulan's going to be almost like a historical biopic, almost, as opposed to... I see what you're saying. I think that would probably be one they could remake and make it so much different than the animated film. So,
yeah, this is a more underrated song. So I invite people to listen to this song again with this in mind, the fact that it's on my list of best Disney songs, and see if you agree.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to actually listen back to it. You know, Pocahontas wasn't on my radar, so I was looking at different videos and clips on YouTube and whatnot to try to compile my list, and truthfully, I didn't look at any Pocahontas songs. I do know this song, but I just haven't heard it in so long that I'm excited to go back and kind of revisit it. So, if nothing else, thanks for that.
Yeah, man.
So, you're in the river, okay? I'm going basically to the ocean for my number three. So, what I chose is the by far the most current song on my list. It's from 2016's Moana, and it's How Far I'll Go is my number three.
I've been staring at the edge of the water long as I can remember, never really knowing why. I wish I could be the perfect daughter, but I come back to the water no matter how hard I try. Every turn I take, every trail I track, every path I make, every road leads back to the place I know, where I cannot go, where I long to be. See the line where the sky meets the sea, it calls me, and no one knows how far it goes. If the wind is my sail on the sea, no telling how far I'll go. I know.
Are you a fan of Moana before I dive into this one?
Watching Moana was almost like a spiritual experience for me.
Oh, so I'll take that as a yes then. Okay, good.
Yeah, the songs are just exquisite. So
awesome. Yeah, I mean, you know, this one was for the soundtrack and for release purposes was recorded by Alicia Cara, who is a pop artist that I really, really like. But the song in the movie, the version that's in the film, is really powerful. Especially if you're watching it, you know, as the movie's playing out and you know what this character is going through. You know, there's a verse in the song that's one of my favorites, and really is why I picked it, where she says, "See the line where the sky meets the sea, it calls me. No one knows how far it goes. If the wind in my sail on the sea stays behind me, one day I know I will go there. There's just no telling how far I'll go." So, I mean, it's about experiencing life. It's about getting out there and taking risks and living and doing what you want to do. And the sea has always called her. You know, she's lived on this island, and she knows that she wants to, for lack of a better way to put it, escape. And kind of grow up, right? And kind of start living her life away from the grasp of her folks. So I love this song. This one, is kind of in the same vein for me, and I don't want to spoil your list, but it's kind of in the same vein for me as Let It Go from Frozen, but I didn't hear it 3 million times when Frozen came out because I have small children. But it's very similar. It's a powerful female vocal, you know, much like Elsa in that movie, and I do love that song, don't get me wrong, but this one didn't get worn out for me, and when I hear it, I still get goosebumps because of that. Whereas it doesn't have the same effect on me when I hear Let It Go so many years later as the first time I heard it, just because it's so kind of, I just immediately start thinking about, goldfish on the floor of my car and stuff, you know, so, or whatever memory I can put in there. But anyway, How Far I'll Go from Moana is my number three.
That's a great pick. That's in my honorable mentions.
Awesome, man. Was that particular one written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, do you know? I don't have it in front of me.
I believe it was, yes.
Yeah, because I know he did a lot of that soundtrack. So obviously a great Broadway musician there, so no surprise with the lyrical content of that tune. But that's my number three, which swings us over to you, buddy, for your number two.
All righty. Well, we talked about The Lion King, and of course, in this... I'm talking about the original Lion King.
Oh, yeah,
here.
No shit.
Not the trash-ass remake, the hollow and creatively bankrupt tech demo that was The Lion King 2019.
Wow.
I'm talking about the true blue, one and only 2D animated Lion King here, mm-hmm. everyone. Mm-hmm. But it is The Circle of Life from The Lion King. This is how you open a movie, my friends.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, I'll let you dive into the song specifically. But to Favreau's credit, this is the one scene that I would have done shot for shot. You know, now I know he did that throughout the whole movie, and it kind of became annoying. But when the first few minutes of this movie, the remake I'm talking about, when it is literally shot for shot with the birds flying and the giraffe, I mean, everything's the same, right? Which is a different type of animation. I would have done that if I were the filmmaker for this, because this is a scene that should not be tampered with. It's one of the greatest in the history of cinema. But I just didn't like how that trope continued throughout the movie. I just wanted to say that piece, but go ahead. Talk about the circle of life a little bit.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you there. One of the only moments of joy that the remake brought me was seeing giraffes on screen and hearing the circle of life. Right. Largely untouched. And that's the struggle that I have with these remakes too, because these films are so iconic that you just don't want them to be touched. You don't want the music to be messed with. You don't want certain scenes and images in your mind to be tampered with. And so, but then you also want them to do something completely and entirely different if they're going to remake it at all. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, so you're doing The Lion King practically shot for shot, which is wise, I guess, because you don't want to change it too much because people will get angry. Mm. But then why remake it at all?
Right. It's money. I mean, money is the answer.
Yeah.
I mean, really it is, because there's no artistic reason, really. I mean, I didn't think Favreau did a bad job with what he had. I didn't think he did a bad job with Jungle Book, you know, in terms of the animation was stellar. I mean, it's something to look at. It's crazy. But it's the same. I mean, it's the same movie. Take that animation and apply it to original story, and you've still got a beautiful movie to look at. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to. I'm kind of like you were last week on EFG. It just drives me crazy because it's just such waste of artistic value. Do you know? It's like, I'm a perfect example. I want to take my kid out. I want to see movies with my kid, right? So whenever a, you know, quote unquote family movie or a kid friendly movie comes out, I try to seize that opportunity to take him out to see it. So I would much rather take him out to see, you know, recently we saw the sequel to Wreck-It Ralph. You know, that's an original story. You know, I know it's a different type of animation, but that's the first time he saw it was in the theater. That's a memory he's going to have. Now in 20 years when they remake Wreck-It Ralph, which they will, he's going to fucking remember that. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know. It just kind of drives me nuts.
Or even Moana. Like, Moana just came out, what was it, 3 years ago? So, yeah. Like, if I wish they would just keep making movies like that. I mean, I know it's harder because, you know, you have to come up with your own original story and write your own original songs. But, I mean, Disney was doing that every few years, you know, with their animated features when they were cranking these out in their heyday. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. These remakes, like I said, it's so cynical and hollow. But anyway, I want to focus on the good
please,
here.
Please do, yes.
No. That's perfectly fine. Trust me, I've had my fair share of rants about about Disney and these remakes recently. So I totally understand where it comes from. But I mean, what can I say about the song? It's just epic. Simply hearing it instantly shoots chills up my spine. From the opening Zulu vocals by Lebo M, the great Lebo M, to the evocative music by Elton John, to the inspiring lyrics of Tim Rice, to the boom of the drums when the film cuts to the title screen. Mm-hmm. It's just the perfect song.
Yeah. Very dramatic.
It's, like I said, it's the perfect way to open a movie. And as the lyric says, it's the circle of life and it moves us all. Mm-hmm. And the song certainly does. So that's my number two.
I agree. You know, I stayed away from it because I was almost certain that not only you, but anybody I would have on the show would name that one. And it's on my honorable mentions. I don't know because I can't really dive into the psyche in my mind, but I wonder if the remake has hurt it a little bit for me. I don't know, but I just feel like if I had ranked this, if we'd done this episode 6 months ago, I feel like it would have easily been in my top five, you know, but I'm not going to disagree with you in any way. I've already said that I think that's one of the best opening in the history of cinema, not just in animation. And the song is a big, big part of that. I love Elton John. He's one of my favorite artists. I've done a top five Elton John songs on this show before. So having those two things kind of come together was great. I agree with you, man. I mean, it's one of the all times, and it got a ton of mentions online too. So no refuting it. The Circle of Life is your runner up, buddy. Nice pick. So here we go. So my top two are really my one and two as far as Disney movies are concerned. And actually, Loy, I might get some heat from you. I probably get some heat from Justin. For what my number one Disney movie of all time is, because, and this is my personal favorite. I wouldn't name this as the best Disney movie. It's just my personal favorite, but it's a Disney Pixar. So it's not from the classic era or whatever, but my favorite, and I don't know if you listened to that episode, but a few months ago we did our top five Disney animated films, and it was my number one was Toy Story from 1995. So the song is You've Got a Friend in Me by Randy Newman is my number two song that I'm choosing. And Toy Story, the reason that's my favorite animated film, and this song really goes hand in hand with not only that movie in particular, but with the whole franchise, even up until the most recent, which was Toy Story 4. That movie was something that had never been seen on the big screen before. And in 95, I was a freshman in college. I just graduated high school. And I thought, you know, cartoons were in my rear view. You know, I thought, well, yeah, I'm growing up now. I want to be cool, like whatever. And I remember going to see Toy Story in the theater, and I was like, holy shit, this is like, I remember there was a period of time after I saw Toy Story where I like wanted to be an animator. Like I wanted to do digital animation because I just was so impacted with how cool it was. And it was just so different. You know, I'm sure it would be similar to what Disney did in their renaissance in the late 80s and mid to late 80s when their animation, their hand-drawn, started looking very smooth and a lot different from the Bambis of the day. It was probably what people felt like then. And then you go to the mid-90s and you have Disney Pixar just doing these amazing things. And they still are. I mean, did you see Toy Story 4 recently or no?
I skipped Toy Story 4.
Okay. You know, I wanted to because as a trilogy, forget about it. I mean, one of the best film trilogies in the history of cinema. And I wanted to skip it, but like I said, I'm going to take my son to see any movie I can. And I do love these characters. You get attached to them. And it was good. I was like,
I'm sure it is.
Like,
I'm sure it's very.
Why is this so good?
I'm sure it's very good, and a lot of people worked very hard on it. I just don't care to see it.
No, I hear you, and I didn't either. And honestly, if I didn't have a young kid, I probably wouldn't have either, just because I was a little like, oh, you guys had the perfect trilogy on your hands, you know. But it was. Right. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But the song applies to the entire series, really, and to all these characters, particularly to Buzz and Woody, if you want to look at it that way, which. To date, you can't convince me he's not one of the best movie duos ever created, Buzz and Woody. And then on-screen movie duos. And then you have the relationship between Andy and his toys, in particular Woody, who's like his number one guy. So that the song could apply that way. And throughout the course of these movies, that the build-up, and really till the end of Toy Story 3, Andy is just with these toys and with these characters for so, so long. And he has to say goodbye to them, you know, and You've Got a Friend in Me is just an amazing theme song and an amazing kind of thread that connects those relationships throughout the course of, what are we looking at now, 15, almost 25 years since the original since the original came out. And it's just been a song that's just been there through the whole series. I want to say they even played it in Toy Story 4. If I'm wrong, please forgive me, but I want to say it got played in there even. But I love this song, man, and I love it because of the memories that I have from the connection to seeing that animation for the first time. And to this day, when I see a Pixar movie, I'm like, how the hell did they do that? Like, it's just beautiful to look at, and it's just an amazing form of artistry, in my opinion. So,
well, I mean, I've seen a little bit of Toy Story 4 just by osmosis from working in a theater. Mm-hmm. I caught some of the anime. It's amazing how much the animation has improved even since Toy Story 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very impressive. And I'm not as big a Toy Story fan as you are. Mm-hmm. It doesn't rank near my favorite Pixar films for me. I admire it for what it is, which is, you know, the first full length computer animated film. It was groundbreaking, and it is a great trilogy. Those three movies, I just want to remember it that way. So,
right, me too, kind of.
But the song is iconic. You just get warm and fuzzy inside when you hear it. Mm. You know,
yeah. Randy Newman's got that classic, just gravelly voice too. You know,
sure.
Yeah, You've Got a Friend in Me is my number two. I thought about making it my number one and kind of lining up with my favorite Disney movie as well, but I decided to go a different route, which we'll talk about here in a second.
Cool.
But I'm excited, man. So now we're up to your number one, Brian. What do you got?
All right. Well, I thought about this, and it may seem like a cliche choice, but when you think about the song and the impact that it's had, it was the first Disney song to win an Oscar. The American Film Institute ranked it 7th in their list of the 100 greatest songs in film history. It has to be When You Wish Upon a Star from Pinocchio.
Oh, okay, you went old school.
Yeah, this is, for good reason, the most iconic tune, I think, in the Disney canon. There's a reason as to why Disney chose this song as the theme that plays during their opening logos in front of every movie. Mm-hmm. What can I say? It's just perfectly sung by the soothing tenor voice of Cliff Edwards, and just hearing it instantly invokes the childhood feels.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do.
You know,
yeah, sure.
That you get when you're watching Disney, and you know, the message of believing in your dreams kind of encapsulates the entire Disney legacy, so... It's cheesy, but
no, it's good.
I'm putting it as my number one.
No, it's good.
Because, I mean, it's just the song. It's the Disney song for me.
Right. No, I can see it easily. And, you know, I mean, you can say it's cheesy, and there's a certain amount of cheese to it, I'm sure, because, I mean, Jesus, we're talking multiple decades, you know. But it stood the test of time, and it does attach itself to Disney forever, you know, and that's what's so cool about it. When you go to Disney World, it plays when Tinkerbell comes down from the top of the castle before they do the fireworks, you know, and Disney's whole thing is like it's the most magical place on earth, right? And it's like, when you're here, life is good and you can live your dreams, and you are living your dreams by being here. And that's the way they want it to feel, especially to young kids. So the song makes sense. You know, I mean, it fits with their whole, I mean, just the whole world that they have there. Disney's got it going on with that. So I think it's a dark movie, though. It's a dark story, Pinocchio. And it's a good one. It's one of my favorites, especially of the old stuff. I would say probably the original Dumbo and Pinocchio from when you go back to like pre-60s, pre-50s. I don't even have the year on this, but I want to say it was 50s, right? Or was it maybe even 40s?
I thought Pinocchio was 41.
Yeah, 40s, yeah. So
1940. Yeah.
1940. So, I mean, you're going way, way back. But what they were able to accomplish with such a dark story and appeal to, you know, young people was amazing. So it still stands the test of time, if you ask me. So great pick, When You Wish Upon a Star, man. I didn't see that coming, especially since you're, you know, such a younger guy. I didn't think you'd go that route. You didn't have any of the Moanas or Frozens or anything like that on your list, which I thought maybe we'd see, so...
Well, I'm a 90s baby, so I grew up in the 90s, and I grew up watching, you know, I had all the Disney films on VHS, so.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome, brother. So there you go. All right, so my number one is much more modern than that, but
That's all right.
No, it's good. In fact, I didn't even realize this, but all of mine are from that, what would be called like the Disney Renaissance kind of era, with the exception of Moana. But my number one is from my second favorite, personal favorite Disney movie of all time, which is Aladdin from 1992, not the remake. From 1992, the animated classic Aladdin, and it is Friend Like Me is my number
one. Oh, wow, okay, awesome.
Is my number one. This is very similar to, like, kind of the same vein as Be Our Guest, which I named earlier as my number four. It's just such a welcoming tune, and it is a Robin Williams showcase. And I mean, to this day, my rankings of Robin Williams performances are number one, Good Will Hunting, and number two, The Genie in Aladdin. I feel like what Robin Williams did from a voice acting standpoint in that movie, you know, so much was improv that we've heard the stories about, and he was such kind of a haphazard comedian, and his energy level was so high, and he was all over the place, and he just absolutely just created an iconic character by just messing around in the booth, you know, and just having fun, and you have fun as the viewer, or in this case as the listener of these songs that he's singing in, and Friend Like Me is his showcase. I mean, that's him kind of introducing himself to his new owner, to Aladdin, and to us in the film.
When Alibaba had them 40 thieves, Sherazade had 1,000 tails. Master, you in luck, cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now, heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch, pizzazz! You got who and how, say all you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say, Mr. Aladdin, sir, what will your pleasure be? Let me take your order, jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me. Life is your restaurant, and I'm your melody. Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me. Yes, sir, we pride ourselves on service. You're the boss, the king, the shine. Say what you wish, it's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava. As I'm a columnist, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me.
It's like saying, you know, sit down, dude. Like, this is what I can do for you. And it's such a production. Like I said, very similar to Be Our Guest. I mean, there's so much stuff going on screen that you can imagine seeing this as a young kid. It's just like looking at, you know, just like the strip in Vegas with all the lights going off. You know, it's just so much energy in it, which, of course, Robin Williams, like I already said, embodied. But I just love him, you know, rest in peace. And this is one of his best performances as a genie, which killed me. We were talking about the remakes earlier. I thought Will Smith did enough to make it his own, I will go ahead and say. I'm glad that he didn't try to redo what Robin Williams did, because he was smart enough to realize it's just never gonna be able to be duplicated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I love it, man. Just really, really Robin Williams' attachment to it, and how fond I am of him as an actor anyway in his career. But this is, I had a little tidbit that I talked about on that Disney episode, but I'll just tell a real quick story, is that my first job was at Eckerd's, which was like a CVS Walgreens type drugstore.
Yeah.
And they used to, when I worked there in the early 90s, they had just come out with the TVs that had the VCR built into them. You know what I'm talking about? So you had a TV and had a little tape head on there. And this was the only VHS we sold was Aladdin. So I worked at the cash register. I was a cashier there, and we had one of these TVs on display. So I would literally have to like listen to Aladdin 3 or 4 times to get through my shift. And I just loved it. The songs never got old to me. I would see young kids come into the store and waiting in line with their parents, just watching it in awe and laughing and just, you know, Dad, can I get the movie? You know what I mean? It was just like, just that whole experience for me growing up was so special. And that's why I love this movie so much. And in my opinion, with the exception of maybe one other song that for me got a little tired over time, this is probably the best song off the soundtrack. So my number one is Friend Like Me from Aladdin. How you feel, man? What do you got to say? I'm sorry, I went on there. I rambled a little bit.
No, that's great. No, that's, I mean, Robin Williams is irreplaceable. I mean, what he did with that performance is just phenomenal. It's really a lovable character, and it's a great introduction to the character, that song. And like you said, it's like a big, full-fledged production. And the animation, the expressiveness of the animation with Genie is just so great. So, yeah.
Thanks, man.
I wasn't necessarily expecting that pick, but it's a good one. It's a good one for sure.
We surprised each other with our number ones, I think, because I didn't expect you to go to
Gotta keep it interesting.
Yeah, I know, man. That's awesome. And no crossover, which I didn't expect either. I thought we'd have at least one crossover, so that's cool, man. All right, so yeah. Why don't you give a quick wrap-up, Brian? What was your top five again?
My number five was Hellfire from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Number four, I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan. Number three, Just Around the River Bend from Pocahontas. Number two, The Circle of Life from The Lion King. And number one, When You Wish Upon a Star from Pinocchio.
Awesome list, man. And my number five was Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid. Be Our Guest from Beauty and the Beast. How Far I'll Go from Moana. You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story, and Friend Like Me from 92's Aladdin. That was my top five. All right, so we're going to head over to social media in a minute and do some fan feedback, because there's a ton that we haven't gotten to yet that got mentioned online. But before we do that, I usually round out my top 10 for my honorable mentions. Did you want to give a few, Brian? I know you said you had a ton, but do you want to mention a few of them real quick?
Yeah, I'll do that. You mentioned How Far I'll Go from Moana. I also put on my honorable mentions Little April Shower from Bambi.
Okay.
There's not a single time when it rains that I don't think of this song. It's one of my favorite choral pieces because of how simply it starts and then how complex it becomes gradually. Mm-hmm. Wonderful song. A Whole New World from Aladdin killed me not to include on my list. Mm-hmm. Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid, you mentioned. Just from me mentioning the title, it's already stuck in my head. Gaston from Beauty and the Beast also very nearly made my list. The lyric, I use antlers in all of my decorating, is a stroke of absolute genius. Zero to Hero from Hercules. Yeah. Exposition was never so much fun. I love the gospel vibe to the songs in Hercules. Two Worlds from Tarzan. As the meme says, Phil Collins didn't have to go that hard for the Tarzan soundtrack, but he did that. Mm-hmm. He did that for us. Mm-hmm. So I love Tarzan. It's one of, in my opinion, one of the more underrated Disney movies.
I agree.
Stand Out from a Goofy movie. I'm not 100% sure this counted because it's not an official Disney animated feature. It's from Disney Toon Studios, but it's the best song that Michael Jackson never recorded. Okay. Shout out to all my Powerline fans out there listening to this.
Nice.
I'm Still Here from Treasure Planet. This is a deep cut.
Yeah, it is.
The Goo Goo Dolls rule. And we need to be talking about Treasure Planet more.
Goo Goo Dolls mentioned. Nice. I didn't expect that today either. All right.
And then finally, I See the Light from Tangled. Aside from A Whole New World, this is my favorite romantic duet from any Disney film. Mm-hmm. And the lantern scene that the song accompanies is one of the most stunningly animated sequences from any Disney film.
I agree. That's a great one. All right, so I'll round out my top 10 because I have a ton that I could throw out there too. And actually, with the exception of A Whole New World, you haven't mentioned any of these, which is crazy to me that there was really only one crossover really the whole time we've been talking. But my number 6 would have been When She Loved Me from Toy Story 2. You're talking about being wrecked, dude. Oh my God. You know which one I'm talking about, with the montage of Jessie remembering her owner and getting left in the donation pile. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay.
So
When She Loved Me. My number 7 would have been Hakuna Matata from The Lion King. I chose that one for the fun, lighthearted nature. My list, I already said, is pretty lighthearted for the most part. And it's just Timon and Pumbaa are just, I mean, come on, man. I mean, just a classic duo, especially in animation. And I thought Eichner and Rogan killed it in the new one. They were really the only part of that new movie that I really enjoyed, or at least as much as the original, was those two characters. So Hakuna Matata. My number 8 would have been Remember Me from Coco. Another kind of tearjerker. I loved Coco. I have already told you my love for Pixar, so that would have been my number 8. My number 9 would have been A Whole New World from Aladdin, you already mentioned. And then Poor Unfortunate Souls from The Little Mermaid.
Another great villain song.
Would have rounded out my top 10, a nice little villain showcase there. All right, so Brian, you ready, man? We're going to go to social media, so
Let's do
it. I was actually looking at these before you joined our call today, and I hadn't looked at all of them before, so interesting. So over on the Facebook fan page, let's start there. We got a ton of shout-outs. I'm not going to be able to go through all of them. Our boy Dan from Netflix and Swill agrees with you on Let's Make a Man Out of You from Mulan. No shock there. And then Paul from Varmints, You've Got a Friend in Me. That's the only mention that I think that got, though. It's a bit disappointing for me, but...
That's all right. I mean, maybe people just didn't include Pixar movies, you know?
Let's,
I feel like if Pixar was clearly, like, included, like, then yeah, it might have made more appearances.
Yeah, that's true. So, Carrie from The Blazing Caribou has got Bare Necessities from The Jungle Book, which we didn't mention. I got a lot of shout-outs.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, that's a fun tune, a really fun song. And then I mentioned Lauren before, so she lives in Walt Disney World and just literally lives Disney. So, I have to give you her list.
Of course, please.
So... She never can give five, so she kind of went nuts, but I'll just go through them real quick. She's got Let It Go, and she says Because Elsa. And she's got Circle of Life because it transcends time, culture, and species. I agree with that. She's got Zero to Hero.
Yeah. Some Hercules love.
There you go.
Love
there it. You go. Strangers Like Me, The Son of Man. I Will Make a Man Out of You. There you go. I See the Light, which you mentioned. And then she's got Try Everything, which is the one Shakira did for Zootopia, I think. I know it was in Zootopia, which is another movie that I love. Amanda's got Part of Your World, which is the other Little Mermaid song that I toyed with putting on my list, but I went with Under the Sea. But Amanda says Part of Your World, Beauty and the Beast, the song, Circle of Life, and Poor Unfortunate Souls. So she's obviously a big fan of Little Mermaid. There's three of her five are from Little Mermaid.
Well, Little Mermaid has some of the best songs.
It does, man. It's such a Disney, like you said, it's like a Broadway. Well, it was a Broadway production, right? So,
yeah.
Tony, who's a new member to our Facebook fan group over there, and she's been giving a lot of great feedback lately. She's got "Kiss the Girl," so there we go. More Little Mermaid. "Part of Your World," more Little Mermaid. You're right, man. These songs are great. The world knows it. The Bare Necessities, and then she's got "Hi Ho." We didn't mention the Snow White, but "Hi Ho."
Oh yeah,
is another classic from early on. Ashley's got a few that we haven't mentioned yet. She's got "I Won't Say I'm in Love" from Hercules. So there's a little more Hercules love for you. And then another one that we didn't mention from The Lion King. She says, "I just can't wait to be king." That's a fun tune. I like that one. That's one of those kind of like, you know, you kind of like bounce around in your chair a little bit. It's a fun one to listen to.
Sure.
And let's go down the list here. So I'm going to go down to Hannah from Boozy Movies. She's a huge, she's got a few here that we didn't mention. She's a huge Disney fanatic, so I have to mention her list. She says Whistle Shop from Robin Hood. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Throwback Thursday. That's a good one. I Won't Say I'm in Love from Hercules. Almost There from The Princess and the Frog.
That's a great one.
I just rewatched that actually because I just realized it was on Netflix. My son and I just watched that a few days ago. And then she also put Try Everything from Zootopia. So the last few I'll mention, we got a ton. Did you see the post over on Twitter? So we got a bunch over on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw.
I'll just go through a few of them real quick. So I Married a Movie Geek. Justin, our buddy over there, has got Part of Your World from Little Mermaid. It's a good one. We already talked about that. Oh, so the only one that came to Paul's mind from the Countdown podcast is The Circle of Life. He said The Circle of Life is the only one I can remember.
That's unfortunate.
I find that hard to believe, but... I just said that's a great one to know, though. So let's see. I think I've mentioned most of these. Hey, I'll say Word Salad Radio has got me on Moana because they said how far I'll go. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Bare Necessities got another mention. John Smith, which I don't think that's the guy from Pocahontas, but he's got The Circle of Life. It's a good one. And how about this one? So Release the Clowns over on Twitter said, "Everybody wants to be a cat, and it's not even close." I think that's from the Aristocats, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I do want to be a cat, though, so I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I think it's, isn't it Nat King Cole who sung that in the movie?
Actually, that sounds familiar now that you're saying that. That might be right.
Oh, no, excuse me, it's Scatman Crothers. Oh,
okay, there you go. And that's a kind of a deep cut. You know, I didn't expect that one to come out online. But and then the last one I'll mention, because I'm surprised it didn't come up tonight, to be honest, Jamie Irwin over on Twitter said, "Can You Feel the Love Tonight?" from The Lion King.
Love it.
Yeah, it's a great,
iconic,
great tune. Iconic love song. How'd you feel? I guess I shouldn't ask how you felt how they did that one in the remake.
It sucked.
So much emotion in their faces. Am I right? I'm being sarcastic.
It also took place during the daytime.
That's right. It did. And it's How Do You Feel the Love Tonight. Wow. Yeah. All right.
You had one job, Disney.
You just had to make it nighttime. You get all this animation mastered and you can't turn it into nighttime. All right, man. Look, I love Loy Sauce. So you can find him over on the Epic Film Guys. Brian, you want to point him towards anything? You want to pump anything up while you're on the show, man?
Yeah, like I said, Epic Film Guys on Facebook and Twitter. If you want to follow me on my personal pages, I guess, I am at GoLoySauceGo on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, man. I follow you. You're a hoot, and it's been awesome to get to know you, man. And like I said, I wasn't kidding. I am going to come up there. I'm actually waiting.
I'd love to have you.
I'm actually waiting for the, and I'm not even kidding about this. My wife and we have friends that live in DC, work in DC, some close friends, and they just had a baby not too long ago. And I actually told my wife this, and so this is a true story. But I told her, I'm like, well, when we go up there to see them, I have my buddies Justin and Brian that aren't far. I got to go meet them at the Alamo or go see a movie with them or something. She's like rolling her eyes, going, really? And I'm like, yes, I got to go see these guys. But I told her, I said, we're not going until the administration switches over. So I'm literally waiting until we get a new administration in D.C. and then I'll plan a trip up there, just so you know. So you probably won't see me in the Trump era. I can't go to D.C. right now.
That's perfectly all right.
Oh, God.
But we'd love to have you anytime.
Yeah, man. So look, for Brian, thanks so much for being here, man. It means a lot. And hopefully you can come back sooner than later. It was a blast to talk Disney songs with you, brother. I appreciate it. So you can find all of Brian's info in the show notes. You can also find all our info in the show notes. We'll be back with another wonderful top five for you guys next week. For Brian, this is Gerald signing off for this bonus episode of Two Peas. Thanks, Brian.
Cool.
To see,
I'm like a shooting star. I've come so far. I can't go back to where I used to be. Every turn a surprise. Every moment red letter. I'll chase them anywhere. There's time to spare. Let me share this whole new world with you. A whole new.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.